Continuing with Shailas Ribbis. As I mentioned, this Kedai, you're suddenly opening up a can of worms, you realize how many Shailas could be exist in our lives that we never realize. And there are solutions. Many times I had to iska, and therefore, if you call the proper base, if someone needs the numbers, I have people that I could connect you to that have more time and do this and make heta iskas and make sure that you're not having any assurim in your business. Someone just WhatsApped me. He told me as a LLC with his personal guarantee, and it's Mamisha Shaila, as we will learn today, Bezat Hashem. Could be really Ribbis the Raisa Shaila. Okay, so here we go. First of all, the kitzur starts off with an interesting case. Someone is marrying off his daughter, and he made a deal with his son-in-law that he's giving a certain amount of dowry. Sons of Ashkenaz, you don't find this so common, but by Hasidic sects and also Sephardim, they really write numbers in the Tanaim, so this could be very applicable. So basically, the father, the future father-in-law, says by the Tanaim, he says to his son-in-law, listen, I'll give you $100,000 per year. Every year that you don't ask me for that money, that you're willing to wait another year, so I would add another $50,000. Halachically, that's okay. And the reason why is it's because, like, it's a person saying this, I'll give you, if you, in a year from now, I'll give you a present for $1 million. If you're willing to wait, I'll give you $2 million. That's not a problem. The problem is, if the stipulation was made that's of $100,000 at the time of the Tanaim, and then at the time of the chuppah of the wedding, the father-in-law is already like, you know, turns to his son-in-law, like under the chuppah, says, by the way, listen, remember $100,000? If you're willing to wait, I'll give you $150,000 if you wait another year. That's already a halachic problem, and it must be done with a cheter. So like we said, call a rav, make sure that it's done with a cheter iska or properly redone in order to avoid any shahs of ribbis. Next shaila is a shaila of being a guarantor. And here too, you would think that there's no problems in being a guarantor on loans, and yet they could be very complicated even with non-Jews. So here it goes. They could apply to banks, as we'll discuss. And when anytime there's a personal guarantee, that runs into a shaila d'oraisa of ribbis. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik, has a famous chiddush, which is also already preceded by him, by the Sholem Aleichem, another place came, and where it's rabbinical, there's certainly room to rely on, even when the Raisa people rely on Rav Moshe, although there are those that are chalik, but his concept is that whenever there's no person guarantee, because there's an LLC or a company, so there's no person guarantee, that takes care of ribbis. However, that only applies to in a situation where you are, for example, the company, and therefore, as a company, you don't have a person guarantee. However, if you have, let's say you're borrowing money from a non-Jew, and from a Jew, I mean, and you're, or a company that's owned by a Jew, or there's Jewish shares, majority of Jewish shares, and by borrowing from them with interest, you are personally guaranteeing, in such a case, there'll be an Isser of Ribbis. You have to make sure you're not confusing the two. So here we go. A classical case that the Kitzur discusses is a Jew, let's call him Yaakov. He borrows money from John, the non-Jew. And he's borrowing money from John with interest, which is not a problem. You'll have to give interest to Andrew, you'll have to charge him. However, he has Levi as a guarantor. So that means John could go after Levi if Yaakov doesn't pay up. So the halacha is the following. So long as John can't go directly to the Levi, can't go directly to Levi, only if Yaakov doesn't pay, that's not a problem. So even though, technically speaking, it could be that now Levi is paying on behalf of Yaakov the money, the loan plus interest, that's not a problem. The problem would be is if that John could go directly to Levi. If that would be true, that's a problem, because then it comes out like this, that really Levi is lending the money to Yaakov with interest. So that's a halachically a problem. And again, like I said, there's that application when it comes to banks, etc. Same thing applies, but the opposite. What happens if a non-Jew, let's call him John, is borrowing money from Yaakov with interest? Not a problem. Now he has Levi. Levi's a nice guy. He's John's friend. And he guarantees the loan. So the same thing applies here too. If Yaakov can't go to Levi directly, not a problem. But if he could go directly to Levi, then it's considered that there's a loan with interest between two Jews. Then the Kitzur also throws in parentheses an interesting case. If you have a Jew that borrowed money from a Jew, and there's another Jew that's guaranteeing. Okay, so there's no interest involved. The only question is, can the loiver, the borrower, pay some compensation money to the guarantor? Is that a problem? Is that considered interest or not? So the Taz and the Shach say it's okay. The Chavazda says it's not okay. And therefore, one, if doesn't have to do so, rather be careful, especially if this could be a Shaila D'oraisa. The next case involves a non-Jew that tells a Jew. Let's say John tells Yaakov, please go borrow from me money from Levi. Levi has a lot of money. John needs a loan. No problem. He asks his friend Yaakov to go and get a loan from him with interest. And he gives him a mashkan, a collateral. So this way, Levi feels comfortable lending John money. So Yaakov is just an in-between agent. It takes zero liability, not a problem. That means as long as the malve, that means in this case Levi, the lender, is lending money to the nandra to John, and he's using the agent here as Yaakov, if the malve, that means Levi, is totally relying on the collateral, and he has zero placing reliability on the shliach, on the agent, not a problem, because the agent is nothing. Now, that's true even if the Jew is the one, meaning the agent here, which is Yaakov, is bringing the ribbis, the interest to the malve. Not a problem, you receive it. Because again, it all depends on the lender having complete relinquishing of any liability that he's placing on the agent. That halachically is okay. The next case is a similar concept. A Jew gave a mashkan, gave a collateral, let's call him Yaakov, gave a collateral or a promissory note to his friend that he should borrow for him money from a non-Jew with interest. So here too, again, Levi's doing, let's say, for Yaakov. Yaakov asked Levi to borrow money from a non-Jew, and he gave him a watch that's worth the loan, so therefore the non-Jew feels secure. Excuse me, feels secure that he's going to be able to get his loan. So then it's not a problem, because the non-Jew is not relying at all on the middle guy, Levi, who is a simple agent. The same thing would apply even if a Jew, the only problem, by the way, that Moshe already points out in his tshuva, is a lot of times a person has a problem with credit and he can't get a loan. And he gets, or he uses someone else's credit card. And what happens is, it's really on his name, and that's what the non-Jew is relying on. And the person that needed the money is paying off the cost and the interest, and that could be a major problem. So that's why one has to be very careful when it comes to these types of guarantors or borrowing of credit, etc. The Kitzur continues and says also, if a Jew, let's say, already lent money, Yaakov lent money to Levi. And so Levi gave him a mashkan. And now Levi tells Yaakov, listen, do me a favor. Use this mashkan as collateral to borrow money from a non-Jew, again with the ribbis. The halach is the same thing, that since a non-Jew is relying on this mashkan, it is not a problem. The next case the Kitzur teaches us using collateral is an interesting case. You have a Jew, let's call him Yaakov. He lent money to a non-Jew using a collateral. So he has a collateral from the non-Jew, from John, a beautiful watch, let's say, and he lent him $1,000. And he has an interest rate per month, let's say, $5. Every month he's getting $5 from John for the next, let's say, 10 months. So what happens? This Yaakov decides, you know, I don't want to be busy with this. And he approaches his friend Shimon and tells Shimon, listen, if you lend me $1,000, this is what I lent a non-Jew, and now basically you're buying the rights, you have this collateral, and you're buying the rights to the interest. So every month you're going to get the $5. Halacha is you're allowed to do so. And the reason why is because really he's just selling him the rights of the, it's like buying a collateral. I'm selling you the collateral that I took from a non-Jew, and there's benefits from it. That's fine. The only problem is when the Jew, meaning let's say Yaakov, has already what's called zokaf alavis akeren im aribis, which means he already converted and he calculated the principal together with the ribis from the entire duration of the loan. So already there's an entire calculation, which means that really it looks like it's already owed to Yaakov in this case. And therefore the problem is if he's going to make this deal with Shimon, so really what's happening is that Yaakov owes him the entire amount, meaning Shimon's only giving him $1,000. And Yaakov owes him really $1,100, because that $1,100 is already calculated with a non-Jew that it's owned to him. So really what's happening is he's giving him ribbis, and therefore it's not permitted to be done in such a case. Look, the next case enters us into the world of corporations and banks and associations and the Moshe's big chiddush. But let's do one step at a time. The first thing is the Kitzur teaches us, if there's money owned by a Jew and it's deposited, meaning it's right now in the hands of a non-Jew. Deposited, the non-Jew is holding on to his money. And the non-Jew now lends that money with interest to another Jew. So the halacha is very simple. If that non-Jew, it's called like similar to a bank, is holding on to the money of a Jew. If that non-Jew is liable to whatever happened to that money, so then really what's happening is this non-Jew lent money to a Jew
And even though it's done with interest, it's not a problem. And that's the way the kids of Paskins, not a problem, so long as there is a liability for the non-Jew. If the non-Jew has no liability, then it's absolutely awesome, because then it's considered like the Jew is lending a Jew with interest. Now comes the kids and says, it's big chiddush. He says, therefore, in places where they have what's called these saving associations, he gives the name Sprakasse, where you have Jews that have are shareholders in this association. And what happens is, really, there's Jews and non-Jews together that are investing money into these associations, and you have other Jews that come and borrow money with interest. So even though the people in charge are non-Jews, it doesn't help me, says the Kitzer. It seems to me, Kitzer says, it's an issue gomel, it's mamish asan, you're not allowed to give money from there, and you're not allowed to borrow from there. So this became a major dispute. And the Shalom Eishiv actually wrote a letter to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch telling him to retract. And you know, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch had many ready printings of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And he said, no, I'm not retracting. I feel that it's absolutely forbidden. Now, one of the big questions here is how much shareholders, meaning power, do the Jews have? Meaning, let's say it's only one or two shareholders. Is it still a problem to borrow from these companies? So first of all, we'll leave this. So this was a major dispute. But now in today's terms, as I mentioned earlier, the Ramesh has a beautiful tshuva. First of all, this applies to shareholding. Shailas really applies to chametz also, if you own stocks in the company. So basic, most poskim hold is that when you have insignificant amount of power and say, so it's really not a problem. And if you don't have to share, sell your shareholders, if let's say, I don't know, Kellogg's, whatever it is. And some what they do is actually sell it with the rabbi. But in regard to back to interest, Moshe has a major chiddush. As we mentioned this before, from the Gemara it seems to be that it's only a question when a person is borrowing and paying interest, when he's giving a what's called a personal responsibility, and there's a personal liability. If he's receiving, for example, interest from a bank, and that bank now has no liability. So then it's not a problem to get interest. So the only problem would be is borrowing money from a bank that's owned by Jews, and especially when there's a majority of shareholders of Jews, because then once a person is borrowing and he's paying interest and he has a personal liability, that would be a problem even according to Rav Moshe. And lastly, we have one other case. You have two partners, and someone asked me the Shaila Alacha Lamaisi. You have two partners, they want to borrow money from a non-Jew. So the Kitzur says, Yashur Shailas Chacham Echlasos. What's the concern? The concern is the following. When you have two partners, really, technically speaking, they're borrowing 50%, meaning let's say $1,000 from the bank with interest. So the Chur is not a problem. What's the problem? Each one is borrowing $500, each one is paying interest, and they're paying interest to a non-Jew. However, we already learned that when you have two partners, really, the law is in this situation that the bank, if one of the partners doesn't pay up, he goes after the other partner. So the other partner becomes a guarantor, and therefore we already learned that looks like the other partner is really lending money with interest, because you're going to have to pay him back. And therefore it's a halachic shaila. And the Kitzur says, look at the Taz. I couldn't find the Taz. I don't know where this Taz is. If anyone can figure this out. Shulchan Aruch Rav, I looked and see if Samech Dalad, and he basically says it's a problem. And probably the best way to do it is with the Heter Iska. And lastly, for today, the last halacha is Mumo. That means a person that is doing things, meaning technically speaking, is an apostate. What does that mean? A person that is does an aver, and he does a bemezid, and there's various levels of a mumo. Sometimes you could have an alacha mumo l'teovan. He's just doing it because he likes cheeseburgers. Sometimes he's a mumo l'achis. He's doing it to purposely. Here we're talking about a person who's totally basically left Jewish religion, and therefore the shaila is, how do we treat him when it comes to ribbis? And the answer is, you're not allowed to buy ribbis from him, and you're not allowed to lend him ribbis. Even lending him ribbis, one should also be machmir. So therefore, again, this applies a lot. So when someone asks me when she does cash advance, he asked me, a lot of times you end up realizing that you're dealing with a Jew, and that becomes a real problem. And that's why it's kedai to, in general, have a general heter iska, and also a detailed heter iska, in each situation. So this way you're covered and you're doing things, everything up. Yalla, have a beautiful day.